Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready for the word. 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 Father, in the next few moments, make something so powerful, so simple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There was a time in human history when materialism was rampant among the people. Divorce rates were skyrocketing. Spiritual leaders were not only fallen, they were backslidden and robbing the temple. That's not bad enough. The church of the Lord was in disrepair and in ruin. It was a day when the statement of the hour was, that which used to be good is now evil, and what used to be evil is now good. When was it in history? You're saying, oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about February 2018. No. I'm talking about Malachi chapter 1, 2, and 3. And God looked at people whose hearts were far from Him and said, I am going to show myself mighty among a backslidden people. And this is what He said, summon the prophets, call the prophets, get the prophets fired up, get the prophets anointed, get the prophets bold, and get the people's attention, and tell my people this, I am ready to prove myself in their midst. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a wonderful series this last few weeks on how to get the most out of it. Started off with how to get the most out of the Word of God, and then how to get the most out of the seasons in your life, and how to get the most out of your skill set, and how to get the most out of your work, and how to get your most out of your marriage. And then last week, how to get the most out of family time. But if you don't get the most out of this final subject, all those other things will eventually unravel a bit. Today, we're talking about how to get the most out of your purse. How to get the most out of your pocketbook. God said, gather the prophets and tell my people I am going to prove myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day when people across our world need to turn their hearts back to a benevolent and loving Heavenly Father. And we have the privilege, just as the people back in the Old Testament, in the days of Malachi, to have God prove Himself through our very lives. I want you to put that slide up. God has chosen you and me and the guy across the aisle from you to go into a crazy culture, a day when things that are used to be good are now evil, and things that used to be a little bit strange are now celebrated. And God is saying, I'm ready to show up again, and I want to prove myself through my people. Now, what is amazing, if you dare lean in and go this way, is that God says, I'm going to prove myself. And the way I'm going to prove myself is in your wallet. And if you dare choose to move with what God says, you'll be the recipient of having divine demonstration flow through your life's message. I got to tell you something. I've been preaching here, loving you people, and trying to join ranks with Pastor Brian and his vision to go forward, and all of you and pastors before that, since the last Sunday in September. And I got up this morning and I felt a kickback, and I knew what it was because I've been doing this for a while. It was the devil. Wasn't that I dreaded preaching. It wasn't that I wasn't ready to preach. It was principalities and powers. And as soon as I woke up, it was there. You don't want to do this. You don't want to go there. But you know why? more than any other sermon I preach, because what we're about to enter into can change the nations, can transform your personal finances, can release God to a greater dimension in this city. I'm not going to let the powers of darkness come against me. I'm ready to gear up and say, Lord, I'm running. Prove yourself through my personal life. Now look at Malachi chapter 3. God summons the prophets and he says this. He says, and I want you to read this with me, "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from me and you've ignored my word. And you have not kept them." And then he says, "Return to me." Now, lean in. I want you to come back to me and notice the path to returning to God. "I will return to you. If you dare move toward me, I'm going to come on strong." How many of you want God to come on strong your direction? Yes. Hey, bring it on. I'm ready. God, come on strong a little bit. Stay with me. "I will return to you, says the Lord." Shout it with me. Almighty. I just love this text because as I read this text, it's like God will say something. "I'm going to do this, says the Lord Almighty." It's like he just has a punctuation mark with his mightiness. I'm saying I'll do this. I'm the Lord Almighty. Somebody say the Lord Almighty. Man, when I read something and it ends with, "says the Lord Almighty," I want to take note of what it says. Well, let's keep going. "Will a man rob God?" A mortal man, a man that's just flesh and blood, that'll live 80, 90 years. Will you rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing God? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse. And notice this, your whole nation is impacted. This church is a holy, special place in the heart of God, because through the decades, this church has blessed the nations with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? We're just getting started around here to spread the glorious news of Jesus to the world. Give the Lord a hand right now. You, the whole nations. When you move in this realm, the nations are blessed, or your own private nation is restricted. It says this, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and look what happens. That you, there may be food in your house." How many of you like to eat? Gayla and I was around the house. I said, "Gayla, when I take my last breath, honey, I want you to say, on my tombstone, here lies the happiest man who ever lived." And she said, "Well, I want to make sure you have your last meal right before you pass away, because you're always happy after you eat. But when you're hungry, you're angry a little, you know." But he says, "I want to put food, I want to provision come to your house." And this one says, "says the Lord Almighty." And then he starts getting bold. He says, "Summon my prophets and tell my people this." Read it with me. "And see if I will," come on, not, read it with me, "throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. I will prevent pests and devouring of your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord." Give the Lord a praise right now, Almighty. "And all the nations will call you blessed." Here we go again. You know, when we were looking at that part where he says, "I'm going to protect your crops. I'm going to keep insects." It was like pesticides that had not even been invented by science, and all science is unveiling of the genius of God. That's all good science is. Science will be there in the future, but right now, as you honor me, I'm going to get you ahead of the game. I'm going to prepare you in advance, and before pesticides can even come and protect your crops, I am supernaturally going to protect your crops. And when you get in to saying, "Okay, God, prove your might through me," I want to tell you, you get ahead of the game. You fast forward yourself in a dimension that you could not even get to without the power and the might of God's supernatural ability. So the prophet said, this is what God's saying. The church is in disrepair. Preachers are backslidden. Families are splitting up by divorce. It's because the priority of honoring me has been put to the second and third tier, if not totally forgotten. Bring the tithe, the whole tithe, and I'll make you a blessing to the nations. How many of you want your life to be more than just a life of consumerism, but you want it to be a life of touching the nations for His glory and for His honor? That's real high living. And so many of you have done it so grand through the years. But what is the tithe? Let's talk about what is the tithe? Well, the tithe, the word tithe itself means tenth. It doesn't mean one-fifth. It doesn't mean one-third. It doesn't mean one-half. It means one-tenth. And so when He says, bring the tithe into the house, He's saying, bring a tenth of what I allow you to be a caretaker. You say, well, what does the tithe do? I want you to think about the kingdom of God. I want you to think about Christianity right now. Right now on the planet, there's over 2 billion people that call Jesus their Savior or they're Christians. And on a planet of over 7.5 billion, 2 billion, aren't you glad we've got those kind of numbers? Can you say praise the Lord for that? And that certainly includes our Catholic brothers and sisters. 2 billion people. Well, what does the tithe do? Let me tell you what the tithe been doing. It has been sending the gospel around the world. Chapel Hill, our facilities, our utilities, the way our staff can serve you night and day and try to build teams around here, what we do to advance the kingdom of God, it comes because there's somebody in the house of the Lord that says, Lord, I want you to prove yourself through me. Because that is how the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus is funded. And I'm not here to play any guilt. If you've never tithed, there is now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you can never buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way and to have your sins removed. Only the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. And the Bible says, ye who have no money, come and get all the salvation you need. Come on, give the Lord a hand right there. You cannot buy salvation. It's a free gift. But there is a realm of living where God comes upon you and says, I'm going to use you as a demonstration of my power in a backslidden age if you dare to honor me with the tithe. Well, who does this anyway? Well, I'll tell you one guy that did it. It would be obscene for us to have church today as an evangelical church, charismatic Pentecostal evangelical church, and not celebrate the testimony and ministry and the life and the integrity of evangelist Billy Graham. I'm getting doodads, goosebumps all over me right now, who after serving the Lord faithfully and preaching the gospel around the world, got to step on streets of gold. Put your hands together right now and thank God for a ministry completed in integrity. You know, when you think about the impact of Brother Graham's ministry, it was so simple, but it was so profound because it was backed by such integrity. I don't think I've ever read a lot of stuff Billy Graham said that just wowed me like no one else had ever come up with that revelation or idea. It seemed like he said things that everybody else said. But because it was said with conviction and integrity and above reproach, am I preaching good now? It just gripped you. You've heard this by people that you didn't even know. But look what Billy Graham said about tithing. Billy Graham said, I'm like thousands of others' families. We in our family have discovered that living on 90% as a tither is much better and much more of a blessing and goes further than 10/10 of living on everything and not giving his part. Now, you've heard everybody say that, but when Billy Graham says it, you just have to say, I need to pay attention to that. And he went on to say this. He said, as far as our family, we've understood this. We understand, and Franklin's the same way, that everything we have is what God has given us. God has given us, in this next quote, everything. And all we are managers of what He's already given us. And when we give the tithe, all we're doing is giving back to Him something that He's already given to us. Here at Chapel Hill, there's hundreds of families that say, I'm going to be a demonstration of the proof of God, and I'm going to bring the tithes into the storehouse. Hundreds of families across all four campuses. There's hundreds that go to our church, the chapel, and say, I'm going to tithe every once in a while. And every once in a while, they bring in a tenth. And there's some that really want to, but they've just never got there. And they're trying to catch a window or a break in their life when it can happen. And it doesn't matter wherever you are, I want you to know God is saying, I want to show up strong in your life. Prove me, saith the Lord God Almighty. You know, this church is pretty incredible ministry, and there's three other preachers preaching the same message to their people. And all over greater Atlanta, there's hundreds and hundreds of people hearing this word. And I don't know, when we all get together and do something, it's pretty profound. Can you say amen to that? It really is. And you know, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this, Miss Dorothy, but this church, and I know you care about this, gives 1,000,000 pounds of food away in the Atlanta area to the hungry. 1,000,000 pounds. How did that happen? Because there's some people that call Chapel Hill home who said, I am going to prove the Lord through my life. And as we got in agreement, that was strength and fuel and energy to build that food pantry. Come on, somebody, put your hands together that people don't have to go hungry because of the generosity of God's people. And as Malachi was thinking about this, there was other prophets. Stay with me. Other prophets, which God was saying, hey, prophet, I want you to tell the people to honor me and build my house. Because if you build my house and build my kingdom, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. A couple of books back, behind Malachi is Haggai, and the Lord called him and said, listen, I want you to speak to the people. You know, when you're thinking about becoming a tither and moving in that supernatural, divine release of financial guidance in your life, there's some things that, there's some thresholds that you have to push through, like, wow, I'm at $30,000 a year. If I can just get to 35, then I think I can do it. If I'm at 50, when I get to 60, my wife and I, we're at 75 together. If we can get to 90, I can see, then's my moment. Oh, man, if I ever, my wife and I, and we're over six figures, and man, that'll be such a big tithe, I don't know if the church can handle it. Believe me, we can find a way to work for the Lord with your tithe. But all of us have this, and I want to tell you, it is a spiritual pushback of the enemy. Don't you go there. Don't you do that. And it's up to you to decide, is that because it won't work for me? Or is it devils trying to keep God's hand of favor and an open heaven off your life? That's a decision that you've got to make. And Haggai, before I go a little bit further, said, look at this verse. He said, so many of you, if you'll go to Haggai chapter 1, he says, the people saying it's not time to tithe yet. It's not time. I'm going to get there. When I get to that next bonus, when I get to that next level, I can handle it. Can't figure it now. And this is what he says. You're saying the time's not come, but the Lord's house should be blessed and built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for you. Is it time for you to live in paneled houses, and my church and my mission is minimized? Look what it goes on to say. If you'll go forward, please. It says, now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about it. It's time for you to ponder this. Don't let it go on and on and on. Consider it. Ponder it. You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You can't ever get ahead. You drink, but you're never satisfied. And it's like your life is walking around with bags. You're trying to build your life, but there's holes in it. It's like I'm finally building my financial portfolio here and getting ahead, and I'll just keep making it happen, but 2 years go into 3 years and 4 years into 5 years, and it's like you're not any further ahead than you were. You're making more. You're even working more hours, but it's no different than the old days when you were just trying. And Haggai says, God's waiting to sew up the bottom of your bag. But you got to trust that His might wants to show up in your checkbook and your pocketbook and your purse. I've got a culture that's going to hell, and I need the gospel funded, and I'm ready to get in agreement with you and open up the windows of heaven and bless you to a point you can't even contain it, but I've got to sew up the bottom of your bag. Some of you have proven this here, I'm going to need some help, and then we'll close. I love this verse. I love, what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at this. It says that, I taught this, Paul said, not me. Paul said this. Paul said, I taught this at the other church before, and on my missionary journey, I taught it at the church before that. So I'm going to all these churches, and systematically, I'm telling all these churches the same sermon. Now I'm with you. Are you looking at the text? This is what I preached the other place. This is what I'm preaching here. And he says, I want you, in accordance to set aside a sum of money in direct proportion to the sum you've made. So he's honoring the word with a tithe. And I want you to do it on Sunday. So here it is. Here's the man of God. The man of God is saying, all the churches is getting this. This is how we're going to take the gospel to the nations. And this is what we're going to do. On the first day of the week, in accordance to what you made, 10%, I want you to come and give it to the house of the Lord and watch me prove myself through your life. Now, I want you to look up here because I'm about to tell many of your story. I've told two or three people. I'm telling your life story today. And up here is, if you don't mind, this won't take long. This is your life. This is your income. There's 10 apples right here. And you can put that verse up there. And I want you to see, this is your life, okay? And this is really God's order. And I want to tell you, our income, if it was divided up in tenths, this is God's order. He wants you to take, on the first day of the week, the first tenth, and give it to the supernatural of God, and prove me, saith the Lord. Now, you don't have to do this, but let me tell you what you need to do. If you'll let me just be a little bold, your second apple, your second tent, pay yourself. That's hard to do when the bill's about that high. Come on now, say amen. But then you got 8 apples here to take care of the rest of your life. I need some help right now. Bo, get up here. Get up here. Bo, come up here. Keaton, come on up here. Jonathan, come up here. Hey, Cedric, no, come right down here. Right down here on this side, because I don't, this isn't really rehearsed. Cedric, I want you to start right here, because I need 1, 2, 3, 4. I need 3 more. Come on up here. Somebody else. Hey, Josiah, come on, hurry up. 1, help me out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hurry up. People want to go to lunch. You guys are so slow. Come on, say, go team, go. Go, 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 go. Okay, well, thank you. We've got a first-time guest up here volunteering. Okay, now this is what we're going to do. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep preaching, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right, or is there 8 up there? Is there 8? I only need 7? I need 8. I'm not going to do it. Tom, can you come help me? All right, come. All right, God bless you. Thank you. All right, get over there on the end. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to do. I want you to eat these apples. This represents your food bill, because he's a chef. This is your utilities. Hopefully, they're not very much. Okay, and then car payment, insurance. You're the mortgage. You live around Dunwoody, it's more than one. Start eating it. Start eating it. You look like a mortgage. Or renter. Okay. So we got all of these, and then you got a couple more, okay? And what am I missing? Put that up there and tell me what I'm missing up here, okay? That slide. Okay, I know one is recreation, and hurry up. Put that up there. I'm running out of time. Okay? There we go. Car payment, insurance. Did I have insurance?
Yes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't need you. Scoot over. So here you are, dividing out all the other 8/10 of what is taking place. Now I want you to listen to me closely, because this is really important. When you guys get done, hold on to your core. I'm going to ask for it in a second. But when you dare do this, I want to tell you what's going to happen. When you pay God first and pay God second, things begin to happen. Has anybody ever proved in this room, when you pay God first, pay yourself second, things begin to happen? I'm going to ask you again. Has anyone ever proved that when you pay God first and pay yourself second, things begin to happen? Come on, somebody. Come on. Help me out. Sharon, stand up. I don't embarrass you, but she's one of my heroes. Single mom in Birmingham raising 2 teenagers, 2 boys in our church over there. Single income. Created our whole daycare ministry at our church in Birmingham. Raised those boys, would study at night to get her doctor's degree. I go away from 7 years and come back, and she had given to God and invested in herself, and look what happened. Years later, something has happened, hallelujah, in her life. Come on, somebody give praise to the Lord. When you give to God and give to yourself, thank you, Sharon. You're a testimony to every single mom that God is faithful. But what happens is, look, here's your savings, your investment in yourself. Here's what God's doing. And as time goes on, you keep giving to God. Eat that one too. You're not done. Eat it all. If you have certain food allergies, please tell me quickly before next week's sermon. That's good enough. Thank you, sir. Look at the other 8/10. only consumed, ready to be discarded. But what you gave to God and what you gave to yourself, God did something supernatural for you. I got a 25-year-old daughter over in Dallas that we miss so much. And don't y'all dare tell Pastor Dave how messy I made this stage. Oh, man. But I want you to see the overflow. God says, summon the prophets. Get my people's attention. Tell them I'm the Lord God Almighty. Tell them I want to prove myself. Show myself strong. I want to rebuild my church. I want to find pastors that'll stay true like Billy Graham, an evangelist, and finish, never bring reproach on the gospel. God help Danny Duval to do it. And Brian, I know you feel the same for you. Glory to God. Bring couples together in such a unity of honoring the Lord with the tithe that they have a new discipline and a love and respect for one another, that those little petty fights just melt like wax in the presence of God because they see their union and marriage as something international and powerful. Hallelujah! Let people love more about the kingdom than materialism. My little 25-year-old daughter called me and she said, Daddy, you know, I'm doing okay by myself. And I noticed my budget. Boy, rent's really high downtown Dallas. Boy, insurance and cars really high. And I've noticed that my giving to the Lord is the third largest item on my budget. She's a CPA, she has a budget. And she said, I go, woo, woo. And I look at a whole host of you who've spent your life proving the tithe of God. And I respect you so much. You know what Daly said? I just changed the way I looked at my giving when it was number three and it was so big. And I started hearing thoughts about what I could do. And I said, wait a second. I am not going to look at my giving to God and missions as an expense item. I consider it an investment. It's just an investment. Some of you folks have done well saving for a season in retirement. But can I tell you what Billy Graham discovered this week? One of these days, if the Lord delays his coming, you're going to be welcomed through the gates of pearl. And when you did, your name was found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because you gave a dime to Chapel Hill or any other ministry, but because you were washed in the blood of Jesus and you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life. But as you walk in and you bow before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll receive a reward. And you'll recognize, I didn't just give tithe and offerings and had my investment portfolio. All of it was an investment for his name's sake. And when you dare to live there, God proves himself to you, to your family, to a city, to a backslidden culture where they see the power of God's promises manifested in your purse, in your pocketbook. That is how you get the most out of your personal finances. Father, thank you in Jesus' name that the devil has hated every second of this message. I kind of like preaching stuff demons hate. And Father, in Jesus' name, the anointing on this service was special. The singing, the worship, the hearts of God's people were electric with magnifying the Lord, because God was preparing hearts. God was preparing hearts. God was preparing hearts. I'm in awe of getting to serve this church, because of the legacy to the nations this church has been. And I want to say it again, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's what I want to ask you to do. I want you to break a threshold today. There's many of you that's been tithing for years. I could give you the testimony. I could give you the mic. You'd preach this message better than me, because you've lived it, and Gail and I have lived it. Some of you want to, and you tithe at times, but it's not systematically, and you would like to get to that point. I've got to say this before I close. I've said this many times, and I want you to get it. What if you tomorrow were called to be the lead pastor at Chapel Hill, or the pastor here at the Dunwoody Ministry? What would be the biggest shock to you? What would be the biggest shock? I'll tell you what would be the biggest shock. I'll tell you what the biggest shock is. You ready? The biggest stunner, and I don't know what everybody gives. I don't want to know that one. Treat everybody the same. I do know when we need leaders, we make sure that they're giving, and their heart financially is in this ministry. But this is the biggest shock, if you were a pastor of a church, would be the difference in the order of the and the discipline of the lives of people who honor God with the tithe compared to the disorder of people that haven't got there. And I don't know if it's the tithe that creates the order, or the order that brings the tithe. I don't know if it's the chicken or the egg, but it is just so clear, because God is able to prove himself. This is what I want you to do. If you're a tither, if you want to be a tither, if you want faith to be a tither, you want God to prove himself in this culture through you, I want you to take one of these brand new offering envelopes. They're brand new. Would you find one? Everyone get one, whether you brought anything. Maybe you've given online. Maybe you've already given for the month. I want you to get one. I want you to get one. And this is what I want you to do. This is a holy moment right now. This is a holy moment. I've got mine up here. If you are a tither, or you want to say, today I am going to start being a tither. Maybe you don't have anything to give today, but you can bring it next week or in the future. Maybe you want to go online. I want you to take one of these brand new offering envelopes. You'll notice we've got kingdom builders instead of a whole lot of different things. And we've got a tithe. It's just a master global reach that's coming in weeks on our missions thrust. But this is what you want to do. I want you to do what I've done and what we're doing across 3,000 people at Chapel Hill today. I want you to draw an apple on an offering envelope. If you have a check or a dollar, or if you're going to just put an apple on it. Put an apple on it. Okay? You know what we're going to do? They're going to take all these apples. The staff's going to come and just pray that all the apples in this ministry can touch the world. Would you come, host, as we pray? Come. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you so much for allowing us be the people you want to prove yourself with. So, Lord, in a day when what is evil is good and what is good is evil, we're ready for you to show your might, Almighty God, through our lives, in Jesus' name, as we worship you with this tithe and offering. In Jesus' name, everyone put an envelope in the offering today, whether there's anything in it. And if you're going to say, I want to be a tither, I want to go there, put an apple on it.